This morning, if I can have your permission, can I just endeavor just to share from my heart today? Really just kind of share from, you know, just my gut, if you will. You know, a good pastor friend of mine has a saying. He says, don't live for God, live from God, from a place in God, from the place that you occupy with Him, from that relationship, that intimate, ongoing, and growing relationship you have with your Heavenly Father. Live from that place. Don't just live for God or to God, but live from God. And that's what I endeavor to do, is just communicate and share each week from where I'm at, from what He's dealing with me about, from where He's speaking to me from. And so that's what I want to do this morning. And honestly, what I'm going to share this morning is something I haven't communicated before, at least in this way. And the subject that I'm going to talk about is so big and so important and so personal that I don't frankly know how this is going to come out exactly. So buckle up, I guess, and let's just draw on Jesus. Can we do that? Let's just draw on Jesus. Yeah, I happen to be the pastor here at ALC, but I'm just human like everybody else, and so I need Jesus to do His thing. What I like to say. I need Him to speak and communicate. He ultimately is the head of the church. He's the one we serve. He's the one we follow. He is the one who lives on the inside of us. So we need Him to just do His thing here this morning. So let's agree for that. And my prayer is that before we leave this place today, every one of us will have made progress in some way in our hearts. See, God is, He is the consummate, the ultimate Heavenly Father. And He wants to help us more than we want to help ourselves, honestly. And a big way that He helps us is by getting understanding. Proverbs says, with all you're getting, get understanding. Why is that so important? Because often we are beat up and left for dead in our lives in different ways because we're ignorant, because we just don't know what we're doing half the time. We don't understand. I don't mean to insult anybody's intelligence, but that's just true. We've all been there, right? Not understanding exactly what we're doing with maybe finances or in a relationship or with life or with our thoughts or with our attitudes or our inner life. And we don't go to school for that. Typically, our parents don't sit us down every Saturday and teach us the principles of life or even spiritual principles oftentimes. So what I want to share this morning is hugely personal, practical, and I believe life-changing for every area of your life. And it's kind of an extension of what we started on last week, which was about guarding your heart. One of the utmost things we need to be responsible for is guarding our hearts. The environment, the atmosphere of our innermost being in life. In fact, I said last week that in 2015, that we're going to be receiving. If we'll just continue to walk with God, we're not going to have to try to make things happen or try to figure it out or try to make results for the plan of God for our lives. No, God wants to just bless us and wants us just to receive what He has prepared and put in store for us. That's what grace means. And for a big part of Him being able to just bring some things into our lives, to promote us, to bring progress to our lives, to set us free, to lead us into a new season of His purpose and plan, His ability to do that has to do with the environment of our hearts. Hence the importance of guarding our hearts. And I ended the time last week by saying, you don't want to miss next week because I'm going to talk about how practically you do that. And practically put that has to do with setting boundaries. With putting boundaries in place in your life, around your heart, around your relationships, around your finances, around every aspect of who we are. In fact, we serve a God of boundaries, a God who has set heaven and earth in place, and there's a boundary between them. Night and day, right? Land and sea. There are so many boundaries. Just in this world, the center line down the middle of 494 is a boundary, right? To keep you from getting killed, to keep us safe. And so there are lots of different boundaries that God has put in place. And the more we understand them and how to enforce them and put them in place, the better off our lives will be, the more prepared and ready our heart will be to receive what God wants to bring into our lives. I'm going to start with Psalm 91, verse 1. It's a familiar verse to a lot of us, but in Psalm 91, 1, it says this. It says, she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Now, when I read this, I just can't get off of the idea that we're supposed to abide in the secret place. A place, it's a noun. It has borders or boundaries to it. It says, under the shadow of the Almighty. A shadow has boundaries or edges to it. So this verse is saying that fundamentally, that's our basic boundary in life, to dwell under the shadow or in the secret place or in relationship with God. Why is that important? Well, if you were to go to an Amplified Bible and look at the bottom, I think there's a footnote at the bottom of the Amplified Bible, at the bottom of Psalm 91, that says this. It says, the rich blessings, favor, protection, in other words, which is outlined in the rest of Psalm 91, of this chapter depends entirely upon one's meeting the conditions of the first two verses. What are the first two verses? We just read them. Abiding and living in Him, within the boundaries of His shadow, within a relationship with Him. Truth is, boundaries bring help, bring hope, and bring healing. And that's my prayer this morning, and my sense today is that there would be some healing in our hearts, in relationships, maybe in finances. A boundary in finances is simply as simple as a budget. What does a budget do? A budget keeps us on track financially. It tells us we need to, as Christians, give some, bring our tithe to the storehouse, bring an offering as He directs us. So give some, save some, and spend some. It's a boundary that helps us from getting off track and over into overspending and debt and lots of other problems that come with living without a boundary of a budget. And so boundaries are hugely important. And I believe that within the framework of boundaries, healing can come to relationships, healing can come to our hearts, restoration can come to the areas that are dysfunctional in our lives. And, you know, I think the best way that I can kind of describe the benefit of boundaries is by giving you a little word picture. A picture of an alien, let's say. Let's say you or I are an alien, not like the 3-foot-tall green ones, but just, you know, another person, you know, like we look right now. Only we live on another planet, far away, in another solar system, in another galaxy, whatever. And on our planet, there's no such thing as gravity. There's no medium of exchange such as money. We don't need to buy things. We can just get it as we wish. We don't need to eat or drink. We get recharged and rejuvenated physically by osmosis. Then suddenly you're transported on a spaceship to a faraway distant galaxy called the Milky Way Galaxy, to a planet called Earth. And you step out of your hovering spacecraft and fall promptly to the ground because you have just been introduced to something called gravity. Say gravity. So you realize, okay, I need to check this place out. So you try to fly because on your planet there's no gravity and you can fly everywhere, but you can't fly, so you decide to walk. And as you begin to walk, you strangely start to feel this pain inside your stomach, which is hunger. And it's painful, and you don't really know what's going on. And then suddenly, luckily, you run into an earthling who diagnoses your problem and says, oh, you need to eat. You need to go to Jack's Diner, where you can get some nutrition and some food to rejuvenate yourself. And so that's all new concept to you. So you go to Jack's Diner, you follow his directions, you sit down, you manage to order some food, and you begin to eat and start feeling better. And before you know it, the same guy that delivered your food to your table is requiring you to give him $10. And you're like, what's $10? And so after an argument and a tussle, things get a little heated, and the next thing you know, these strange men in uniforms show up at your table, put your hands in cuffs or bands, and march you off to a small room where you are contained and behind bars, which really is frustrating to you or to me. Because you're just trying to go about your business, right? You're just trying to explore this place called Earth. Do your thing. And suddenly you find yourself in this thing called a jail, where you sit there, you're tired, you're resentful of the fact you can't move around and do your business, your legs are sore from walking, you feel fatigued, your stomach aches because you ate too much, and now you don't know what to do. You're resentful, you're angry. Nice place. This place called Earth, right? And you're like at this moment thinking, okay, Ken, what the heck does that got to do with Authentic Life Church this morning? I think a lot. Because although it's a far-fetched story, I think it's a really good mirror of what happens to a lot of us. And that we grow up not being taught spiritual principles, not being taught relational principles, money principles, and certainly have no clue, many of us, about this thing called boundaries, or creating edges to your life, or putting borders into your life. And so we grow up, we go into the big, bad, brave world, just like that alien, not really understanding some things, ending up maybe divorced, ending up perhaps in debt, discouraged, frustrated, hurt, broken, walled off from other people because that was your protection response when you were let down by somebody, and just despondent like that alien. And maybe some of us behind bars because we didn't understand some simple relational spiritual principles such as boundaries. You see, spiritual relational realities are as real as gravity. And whether you know them or not, or aware of them or not, or practice them or not, you will experience the results of them, their effects, in other words. Amen? So this morning, I want to talk a little bit more about boundaries. And I think, again, let me just emphasize, this is the root cause for many of our struggles, for the reason why so many people are under pressure. Because perhaps they've crossed over a boundary and spend half their day worrying about somebody else's problems, or worrying about a child, or worrying about the government, or whatever. In other words, we've stepped over a boundary and perhaps over in God's realm, something we should leave to His care. And we need to stay within our boundary so that we don't get under pressure and don't get stressed out. Many people are depressed and repeat every year, kind of like Groundhog's Day again. The reason relationships fail, I believe, and why finances never seem to be enough is because of this little thing, or not so little thing, called boundaries. Proverbs 4:23, we read it last week, but let me read it again. It says, keep and guard your heart. You guys with me this morning? Yep. Don't be afraid to say, okay, Pastor, you're stepping on my toes, or okay, Pastor, that's pretty good. Keep bringing it. keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, or diligence, you can say. And above all that you guard, for out of it, or out of your heart, flow the forces that create your life. See, taking back control of your life, shifting the momentum of your life from a negative one to a positive one, starts in the heart. Starts by putting boundaries in place. Starts by interrogating what comes into your life and what goes out of your life. Guarding your heart, putting boundaries in place, begins by inviting what's good in and rejecting what's bad. Now you might be thinking, okay, Ken, give me another idea of what this idea of boundaries, or a boundaryless versus a boundary set life, looks like. Well, let me just kind of give you a quick picture of what a boundaryless life looks like. A boundaryless life might be somebody who, where people don't respect their time. Where every time somebody calls, picks up the phone, sends an email, calls out for help, you stop what you're doing and you go help them. Because after all, I'm a Christian, I've got to do that, right? Right? Isn't that true? Maybe not. A boundaryless life is where every other day at the last minute at 5 o'clock, your boss asks you to work late. And you're a good, dutiful little worker, and so you just do it every day. Now, that's not bad necessarily, but I'm saying consistently this happens. A boundaryless life is a life where people frequently come to you with needs and problems and issues, and you just feel obligated, because once again, you're a Christian, right? To help them, to solve their problems, to worry for them at least. And usually for Christians, we do it because we feel obligated, because that's what love would do. That's what Jesus would do. But I would submit to you, no, it isn't necessarily what Jesus would do. In fact, Jesus was very masterful at putting boundaries in place in his life. There were a lot of people that did not receive ministry from him because he would oftentimes just stop and tell his disciples, hey guys, we're going to the other side of the lake. There's ministry's endless. He knew that it was like a vacuum. It was a black hole. There was no end to it. Of course, that's why he was going to the cross, so that he could bring many sons and daughters to glory with the same spirit in them that was in Jesus, so that now we could exponentially multiply throughout the earth. And it wasn't just one person, it was a whole body of followers of Jesus that could minister and preach and influence and pray and believe. Jesus was masterful at putting boundaries in place. And very often he would tell his disciples, hey guys, it's time to stop. I've reached a boundary where I can tell I don't have any more capacity physically, mentally, emotionally to do anymore. Let's go to the other side of the lake. Let's chill out. Let's eat. Let's pray. Let's regroup. Let's replenish ourselves. Another reason that I think a lot of people live boundaryless lives is because they feel like if they don't do something for somebody, or every time somebody asks, that they'll not be liked, or they'll be rejected, or their family will disown them, or something like that. The truth is, if that's the case, then you need to draw a boundary. And that's why maybe things are dysfunctional, and why you're worn out and tired and depressed, and you're repeating the same patterns of life year after year, because you don't have any edges to your life. There's no, what I would call, border control. A boundaryless life is where we consistently feel like we have to rescue people. If somebody doesn't help them, who will? And maybe even it's even your child, or a loved one, or a grandchild, or whatever, or even a spouse. And, you know, if I don't rescue them, if I don't worry about them, then who will? They'll fall flat on their face. The truth is, that might be the best thing that can happen to them. Wow, Ken, you're tough as a pastor. No. Very often, the mercy of God is consequences. In fact, I haven't got to types of boundaries, but consequences actually is one kind of boundary that gets our attention, that rattles our cage and says, wake up! You can't continue to do life like this. You're going to die early. You're going to end up, you know, in debt. You're going to end up in whatever if you don't wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak. But it's a life, a boundaryless life, where we enable people. We're actually, what we do is we, because we're rescuing them or always trying to solve their problems and all, you know, the truth is, as Christians, we're not responsible for the whole world. No, you're only responsible to what God asked you to be responsible for. So yes, you're a Christian, and love does help, and there are lots of opportunities to help people and serve people and bless people, but just make sure you're doing it from God and not, you know, for God or for a religious reason, because you just think you just have to do this. No, make sure you're doing it from your heart, doing it at the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because very often, our Christian acts of kindness and what we do, especially people close to us, is actually enabling them. We're actually interrupting or intercepting the natural evolution of the law of sowing and reaping, Galatians 6:7, where what you sow, you're supposed to reap. In some instances, you know, maybe parents have constantly rescued. In fact, I was hearing that on some show recently, on a secular television show, just this idea of no rescue parenting. And how, yeah, we don't want our kids to, you know, if they don't know any better, certainly rescue them, help them. But if they should know better, you know, at some point, you got to let them learn some lessons. I know in my life, there have been lots of little failures or things that I've done wrong that I experienced some consequences about. And I like to see them as inoculations against much bigger failures and problems in the future. In fact, in childhood or when we're young, that's a great time for us to experience some consequences because, you know, otherwise we're giving our kids a false sense of reality. We're giving somebody in our life perhaps a false sense of reality. And sometimes in relationships, that's where we're doomed before we start, because what happens is we just start enabling somebody in a friendship, let's say, or at the office, or even a boss, where we just bend over backwards and do everything for them. But remember how you start a relationship, if you're doing everything for them, how you start a relationship, and if you're doing everything for them, that's what you're going to have to continue to do to keep that relationship until you draw a boundary. Otherwise, you know, it's going to remain dysfunctional, you're going to get burnt out, hearts are going to be broken, all kinds of things are going to happen. Where was I going? I don't know. Anybody tracking with me this morning? Told you this is a really big subject and hugely personal. And I'm just speaking from my heart, and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you about this as we go. And as I'm talking, I'm not like empowering you or giving you permission to go home after today and just, you know, slam the door and get all your family together and say, all right, family, we're cracking the whip here. There's going to be some changes around here. We're drawing some boundaries and things are going to be different. And no. That's not what I'm saying here this morning. I really just want to sow the seed of truth in your heart and then just give you permission to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and let this evolve in your soul. You know, and very often we're boundaryless because we're enabling people in our lives. When we need to maybe step back and and communicate some things. I know as a parent, a few years ago, I found myself getting angry more than I should with my kids. And both Sarah and I were yelling at our kids more than we should have because they weren't listening to us. The truth was we had some boundaries, but we didn't enforce them consistently. Because how many of you know that parenting is hard work, right? It's certainly worth it, but it is hard work. And what I've learned, you know, as a young parent or with young kids over the years is, yes, you have to have boundaries, number one, and communicate them proactively, and two, enforce them. Otherwise, if you don't enforce them, they'll just be a joke to your kids, and your kids will just do what they want to do, and you will get aggravated, and you will nag, and you will yell, and you will run screaming from the house at certain days. You need to just continue to see, putting boundaries in place is permission and the ability to not get angry, to not become depressed, to not be dysfunctional in a relationship, to peacefully just communicate. And while you can't change people, and Jesus actually didn't force people to change, he just preached the gospel. He just communicated expectations and kept communicating those expectations and kept communicating expectations. Because the most powerful and quick way to bring health to a relationship, to a household, to a family, is putting boundaries in place, creating borders, and just, you know, communicating what those are. In fact, boundaries really starts with you identifying where you end and somebody else begins. So you're not worrying about that other person because that's not your responsibility. Kind of like what happened to me years ago at one of my jobs. I was new on this particular job, and I came out of my office one day all worried and concerned about this situation. I went and expressed it to my boss, and my boss, in just a loving but yet firm way, just said, Ken, you just let me take care of that. That's my responsibility. You just take care of that over there. And at first, it kind of stung a little bit, but after I thought about it, he was so right. And I just let go. I realized that was his responsibility. I had stepped over my boundary. I went back to inside my boundaries and just was responsible for what he had given me oversight of. And so we need to be inspectful. We need to interrogate what we let into our lives and what we let out of our lives. For some of us, our boundaries are inverted. See, a boundary is not a wall. I'm talking about breathable borders or boundaries today. Not a wall, which happens in a lot of our situations. People that have been abused, people that have been let down, all of us have the temptation to put up walls in our life, impenetrable walls where nothing gets in and nothing gets out. And that's bad because a wall causes the good from getting in, prevents the good from getting in, and keeps the bad inside, which happens in a lot of situations where people are abused. Their boundaries are reversed, where the anger and the hurt and resentment is bottled and stuffed and kept within and becomes toxic to them. And the good, a love from a good, safe person that might bring healing to their life, is kept out and kept at bay. A boundary is meant to keep the good in, or as the Bible says, keep your pearls in and the pigs out. But these boundaries are also permeable, like skin. Skin is a boundary. It keeps pollutants out and germs out, but it keeps your organs and blood and bones in. Yet it's permeable or breathable in that you can open your mouth and eat and take in air. And your skin, through its pores, you can sweat. Amen? And so it's permeable. And so we need to be inspectful of what we let into our hearts, who we let into our hearts and lives, and what goes out of our hearts and out of our lives. Kind of like if you were to drive to the Canadian border in northern Minnesota, you would end up at some point at a checkpoint, an international checkpoint, where you would go through, I guess, customs, and you would be interrogated. They would ask you questions such as, who are you, and do you have a passport, and what are your intentions in our country, and how long will you be here, and when are you going to return, and all these different questions, because they don't want just any riffraff into their country, nor do we want any riffraff in America, right? Certainly not terrorists. So they interrogate everybody through that checkpoint, and I like that, because that's a good image or a word picture of how we should be living our lives and how boundaries begin, where you interrogate what comes into your thoughts, what goes out of your mouth, what goes through your eye gate, what comes into your ear gate, who you associate with. Truth is, some of us experience adversity by association because we've let somebody in our life that we shouldn't let into our life. And honestly, it could even be a family member. You know, adult children oftentimes, you know, if they're going to get healthy or just kind of create a new sense of identity for themselves, once they leave home, need a boundary of time and space. So that they can kind of disconnect from mom and dad and how things were done at home. And if it was dysfunctional, you know, kind of go out on their own and begin to heal and grow and learn in different ways. That's a boundary, time. Amen? Proverbs 23:19 says this. It says, listen, my son, or listen, my daughter, and be wise and direct your heart in the way, or the way it should go. Direct your heart in the way it should go. Somebody once said that fences make good neighbors. And I would suggest that boundaries or fences with gates makes good relationships, brings health back to those relationships. And so I just challenge you this morning, start thinking about what you're letting into your life. Interrogate what's coming into your life and what's going out of your life. Relationships, thoughts, images, how you spend your time, your money, your energy, your day, all of it. See, setting boundaries starts with understanding what's right for you and what's wrong for you. You mean I can do that, Ken? Absolutely. You should do that for you. Decide what's right for you and what's wrong for you. Decide what you're responsible for and what somebody else is responsible for. Don't take on responsibilities that should be somebody else's, including your family members. Is this permission giving this morning? Yeah. Is this freeing anybody this morning? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 said this. He said, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Isn't that good? Not everything is helpful or edifying. Interrogate what's coming into your life and what's going out of your life. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Ken, can you give me a better sense of what boundaries look like? Well, you probably guessed it, but one form of boundary are words. Words. Simply words. Such as the word no. The word no is confrontational, but it's also boundary or border creating. It's okay to say no. In fact, if you follow and study successful people, the most successful people in the world, you'll find that they say no to most things so that they can say yes to the best things. Come on now. You know it's true. There are a lot of things we should be saying no about. Saying no to situations, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we give what we give to thought, so that we can say yes to the best or the good things. No is a boundary-creating word. And, you know, one reason we don't set boundaries or create borders in our lives is because we don't like confrontation, especially with the people close to us who we really love and supposedly really love us, and we don't want to be rejected, we don't want to be hurt. But sometimes the only way to freedom is confrontation. You know, the world has this idea that there should be peace at all costs. And yes, God is a God of peace, and he comes to bring, he's the Prince of Peace. But Jesus, how many of you know, had to go through a fight to obtain and purchase that peace? Because there's an enemy in the world who doesn't understand peace. He has to be confronted. And in our lives, there are times when we've got to confront people. We've got to say no. We've got to have a hard conversation. You can't just pray it away, the situation. Maybe with your spouse, maybe with a friend, maybe with a child, maybe at work. Yes, you should pray. There's a time to pray, but then there's a time when you just got to take action. And you got to have a conversation. Do it in love, certainly. Do it respectfully. Do it after you've prayed. But you got to have a conversation, because a conversation gives people a sense of your edges. It defines you. And some of us live amoeba-like not lives. You know, The Blob, the old film from the 50s, The Blob, where it's just this, you know, growing mass of whatever, jello, that just seems to have no boundaries and just keeps getting bigger and larger. And I think sometimes that's our struggle, is our lives are just, we're like amoeba, we're like the blob. We have no definition or no boundaries. We just feel like everybody can take advantage of us, and we just have to help everybody and respond to every call and every email, you know, and just we're not our own. We have no sense of control. See, boundaries, communication, for example, confronting where it's necessary, takes back your sense of control. In fact, you know, when we as parents don't communicate clear expectations for our children, or we don't enforce them, we actually take away their power and we give them a sense of no control. Amen? When you interrupt the law of sowing and reaping by rescuing somebody or fixing something that you probably shouldn't, you take away the one powerful motivator to change, pain. Is that scriptural, Ken? Yeah, absolutely it is. There are consequences at times. Certainly God wants us to first learn and grow by just being students and people who live according to the truth of God's word. But sometimes, for whatever reason, we need to come to the end of ourselves. That's a good thing. I've learned that when I fail, when I mess up, when I experience pain, I've understood and learned enough through the years that I need to label that pain or that failure or that trouble or that difficulty, adversity correctly. I don't label it as, okay, it's time for me to quit and give up and I guess nothing's going to change for me. I label it, here's an opportunity to grow, to learn, to leverage pain to change and go to a whole nother level. The truth is, most often, it is adversity that will pull you into your destiny if you label it correctly. Amen? And you guys don't, if you've been around here long enough, you know that I like to point out how much of Scripture is the story or the history of men and women of God who went through unbelievable circumstances. You know, injustices and wrong things that should never happen to good men and women, like Joseph or Daniel or David or Jesus. But you don't see them murmuring and complaining and griping, and they just identified that, okay, here's an opportunity for God to get some glory. Here's an opportunity to put faith to work. The Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes every obstacle and opposition. That's my translation. This is the victory that overcomes the world, the devil, your flesh, your circumstances, your challenges, even our faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? Somebody say amen in this house this morning. Come on now. You guys are much, much, much too quiet. So words are boundary or border creators. And sometimes what needs to be done is for you to say no. For you to pray and to say, God, give me courage to have this conversation with this person. I mean, and sometimes when you step out, maybe with a family member, maybe at work, maybe in some way in just your personal life, and say no or draw a boundary, it can be hell on earth. Can I say hell in church? Well, I guess I did. It's a place. It can be really tough. But if you're motivated and your heart is right, motivated by the Holy Spirit, your heart is right, and you take a step courageously, it will create a boundary that while, you know, might be crazy at first and feel difficult and feel like everybody's against you and maybe even family members reject you, if you'll take and stand your ground and don't back up, boundaries work. And you can't change other people and you shouldn't try to change other people. And very often, you know, we just have this idea that, well, people should just respect me and love me and treat me right. And why are they treating me wrong? And we get mad at them. And we shouldn't get mad at them because the problem is with us. Like the Dr. Phil episode I saw a while back where this 44-year-old son and his parents were sitting on the stage in the Dr. Phil show and this guy had made millions of dollars years gone by. But he was down on his luck, his business had failed, he's back living in his parents' garage, on a couch in there, mooching off of them, their food, everything. It had been for several years now, mistreating his parents, swearing at his parents, just totally dissing his parents. Horrible what this guy was doing, 44 years old. And rotten what he was doing. And Dr. Phil's sitting there, and he's addressing both of them, the son and his girlfriend who's living in the house too, and the parents, and he looks at the parents and says, I've got some news for you. Your son doesn't have a problem. The problem was with the parents because they were unwilling to draw a boundary and say, son, you know, he wasn't advocating, you know, kick him out of his butt, you know, right now, but they needed to put some things in motion, like, okay, you need to make some plans now to get a job and to move out by such and such a time. He didn't have a problem. He was just hunky-dory. He had it all made. It was the parents that had the problem. They were intercepting, they were stopping the law of sowing and reaping from happening and the consequences from happening to help him change and grow. So don't get aggravated about people and what they're doing. Go and talk to the people that are aggravating you. Don't just kind of fester and get, and that's, again, that's another symptom, by the way, of a boundaryless life, is, for example, passive-aggressive behavior, is anger. It's whether it be with parents or at work, with your boss, where they just seem to not respect you and run over you, and because you haven't communicated some boundaries. You haven't said no. You haven't had a conversation respectfully and in love. And so what happens is we stuff things. That's one thing that can happen. We stuff them and we stuff them and we create what I call torpedoes down on the inside of our soul that at some point down the road, at a time definitely not at our choosing, detonate and blow up and create a big, ugly, hairy mess in our lives. When we should have been all along just having, stepping up and having a conversation and drawing a boundary. Let's just be honest. All of us are humans and we will take advantage or we will use people as much as we can. That's a little harsh, Kent. What's just true? Relationally, in all kinds of ways, we will, you know, take advantage or use people in different ways. So don't expect people to treat you right. You see why that alien story was very relevant here? Don't expect people to treat you right. That's okay. We're all human. We'll all let people down, disappoint in different ways. What's needful is to put some borders in place and enforce those borders so they're not a joke. Not angrily or just lovingly, patiently, consistently, with a right tone of voice so people can receive, put a boundary in place. And more often than not, in my experience, people respond. Kids respond. And if it works on kids, oh my gosh. Jesus was masterful at boundaries. He never tried to make people listen to him. He never tried to change people. In fact, he took it another step further and had a boundary where oftentimes when people came to him, he required them to tell him what they wanted, even though he knew prophetically what they needed and what they wanted, because he knew that they needed to take a step and do their part within their boundaries, which is to believe. He knew that it's going to be according, it's going to be done unto them in their lives, in your life, in my life, according to our faith, according to our belief. So words are powerful boundary creators. Truth is a boundary. It communicates to us God's unchangeable reality and how we relate to him and how we should relate to the world around us, including other people. David said, I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It put a boundary in his heart. For me, growing up, I grew up in a home where there was alcoholism, and I happen to know that alcoholism goes back 3-4 generations, and even at 6, 8, 10 years old, I had a distaste in my mouth for it. And I grew up a Christian, so I always had a relationship with God, and I can remember where I was at back in the middle 70s, and I was probably, 8, 10 years old, and making a decision that I would never drink. Now, I'm not here to say that's for you. We know the Bible says don't get drunk because that's going to create a lot of problems. But for me, I made a decision. Why mess with that? There's no need for it for me. So I drew a boundary. For me personally, I would never, and I never have, and never will. Never been a temptation. And I've done that in lots of different ways in my life. Just simple boundaries put in place and observe them. And it's just a beautiful thing. And when you make a commitment like that too, you draw upon the grace and the power of God to live according to those boundaries. Boundaries bring protection. Just like what we saw in Psalm 91. You live within the secret place or within the shadow of the Almighty. It goes on over and over to talk about how no evil will befall you. No plague come near your tent or your life or your family. It goes on and on of the grace and the goodness and the protection of God that you'll experience by simply living within the bounds of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Geographical distance is a boundary. Where you need to unplug from work maybe because you've crossed over a boundary and you're finding that you don't have a whole lot of margin in your life. You're like flying off the handle at your family, friends, at a complete stranger on the highway because you're tired, you're weary, you're emotionally depleted, and you need to put some geographical distance between you and the office for a couple weeks maybe. Emotional distance. Don't get mad at other people if they've been abusing you, mistreating you, and you're hurt and you're broken. I empathize with that. But what the doctor, Dr. Jesus might prescribe, I believe would prescribe, is you need to put some emotional distance. You need to stop casting your pearls before swine. Don't call your loved one a swine, please. But I mean, you know, don't put your, you shouldn't be like putting your heart out there to just everybody and anybody. No. Fences, which by the way, this is a fence from my backyard. a segment of fence. It has a couple gates. I built it a few years ago when my kids were really little. And it worked really effectively at keeping the varmints and the deer and the animals out from eating my vegetables and my flowers. And it worked effectively to keep my kids in and safe and sound. Now they're old enough, they like to climb the fence actually and jump over. But that's what fences, that's what boundaries do. Amen? I have to throw this out to you real quick, and we've got to wind down now, but I was talking about emotional, that's right, emotional distance. That's a boundary. I'm not advocating hold unforgiveness or treat people wrong in any way, but in some instances, you might need to like set a boundary for what you're going to talk about, how you're going to relate to a person, for a season even, so your heart can heal. From a relationship, I don't know what kind of relationship, or from a situation. You need just to draw inward and let the boundary keep certain things in. Don't open the door in certain ways. Don't just like pour your guts out to anybody or everybody. Let the Spirit of God lead you to somebody healthy that you can trust, who can be trusted with your heart so that you can heal. Amen? Other people are a boundary. Sometimes when you begin this process, it is good to have a healthy, strong person in your life, a counselor even, who can be your advocate, who can speak truth to you, who can hold you accountable. Amen? And lastly, consequences. Consequences are a boundary. And let me just throw one story and then I'm done. I'm just scratched the surface here today. Has this helped at all? Just really wanted to give you an hors d'oeuvre of what I'm going to be talking about in the weeks ahead. When I was back a number of years ago, I worked at a really large ministry, worked for a lot of years, and I was responsible for quite a bit. And I was responsible for this big initiative, big program with literally millions of dollars, and had a team of 15, 20 people. And I was coordinating everything and with a visionary behind everything. And on one particular Sunday, something didn't work out right. Something failed, something got messed up, and I don't remember what it was now. But what I do remember is my boss called me and just really got on me. And I could tell he was under pressure. He was upset, and he was so upset that he questioned my integrity about something. And for me, that was a boundary. Because I knew my heart. I don't know exactly what happened, if something didn't get communicated or what exactly, but I was like determined to solve it and fix it and make it right, and I did. But after that conversation, I realized, okay, he crossed a boundary. That's not right. And the next day, I called him up respectfully. He's my boss. With a right heart, I let some of the emotion drain out of my heart. I let some of the fight go away. And I professionally had a conversation with him and said, sir, I take issue with what you said. I know for a fact it has nothing to do with my integrity. And I take issue with the fact that you would insinuate that I did anything out of a wrong motive or whatever, something to do with my integrity. And he was a wise man as well and apologized and said, you're right. I was wrong. I was under a lot of pressure. This was happening. That was happening. I'm sorry. And boy, I have to say that put even more health in my relationship with my boss. He knew where my boundary was and respected me more because I confronted him. I know this is tough because most people, even those choleric among us, don't like to confront. But that's what it takes to put boundaries in place. Again, not in a place where you're like hopped up mad and being passive aggressive. No. But when you're in a place of peace and calm and wisdom and you've prayed and just communicate lovingly and peacefully. Or we just have to start thinking a new way, even as a parent. You know, for me, it's been in recent years learning how to communicate differently with my kids or learning how to say, okay, guys, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to ask you twice about doing this, that, or the other thing around the house. You can play, you can have technology time with your 3DS and your iPad if you guys have your homework done and your little chores done around the house. If you don't come ask me. If you don't, and you start playing anyway, then guess what? There'll be a consequence, and you'll lose your games for 2 or 3 days, or whatever. Peacefully, calmly, I'm not nagging, I'm not yelling. Most amazing thing. Wow. My son gets out his big math book the other day, my third grader, without even asking, like right after school, did his three problems, did his little chores, and got to play in his game for an hour or so without me doing anything. It didn't happen overnight, but as I just continue to reinforce those boundaries, change is happening. He's growing. He's feeling a sense, by the way, it imparts a sense of control and power into that person's life. They're in charge of their destiny. Amen? Because you're letting them experience consequences if they need to, so they can change and grow and become well-adjusted, healthy young people, young adults that make a contribution to society and in the future, a family, the marketplace, and so on.